But it's like, I always say to people, like, if Michael Jackson can go bankrupt,
yeah,
it's like everybody needs to be on a budget. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
So now I'm on a budget.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. Happy Friday. So last Friday, I officially got the prescription from my naturopath. My blood work came back and my cortisol levels and the adrenaline I had been pumping for the last 2 months of transition, moving, everything you guys have been hearing about that I've been transparent about, put me over the edge. My adrenals over the edge. And so my prescription is bed rest for 3 months, kind of like the Victorian times. That's how it feels. It would honestly sound pretty outrageous to me in this modern day culture if I didn't have an expander in this. Ashley Neese, who many of you know of, my breathwork teacher or breathwork expert that I know of. I don't actually get to practice with her, but the one that I love and believe in. She's up north. She actually went through this a couple of years ago and it did heal with an addition to the herb she was taking and the practitioner she was working with, like I am. It did heal her. And so when it was suggested, I had expansion and I could take it seriously. However, I'm working through the Brave roadmap this month. We put out a roadmap every month that's kind of like a gym calendar of how you can work through each of the manifestation workshops. And this month is really centered on jumping off cliffs that you're afraid of, anywhere you have fear in your life, and taking it deeper. That's where the magnetism is. And it's what puts you, obviously, no brainer, on track with the things you want in life. But it can be so scary, especially if your trust muscle isn't strong, meaning you haven't done this a lot in the past and you haven't seen magical things show up yet. Your trust muscle's a little weaker. Mine is very strong. However, when it comes to something I never talk about as manifesting health, because I haven't cracked the code fully on that with myself, I would never teach something that I haven't seen results in a plethora of times from multiple clients and people that I've tested it out on. So I don't talk about that. But there is a little something there's quite a few things actually coming up within the pathway. Very exciting before the new year. I won't talk about them yet, but one thing I'm exploring that I do for myself is I create a blueprint. And so for me, when I received this, I'm also working with Unique Hammond, who I've been mentioning multiple times in many episodes leading up to this, who completely healed her Crohn's entirely, a very, very extreme case, and went into full remission using Karen Hurd's protocol. And now she's a nutritionist that has her own added value and teachings and things that she also prescribes in addition to it. So if you're looking for somebody to help you through that process, I've worked with her and I've also had the chance to work with Karen. And simultaneously in my conversation with Karen, she said the exact same thing. She was like, you're doing a great job removing all of the hormones out of your body, which my blood work also said in just a month. However, you're still pumping so much adrenaline, and basically, I'm actually pumping a lot of estrogen because of how much my adrenals have been overworking. So my hormones, you know, are needing that extra push. And, you know, she said most people in their lives, they go to work, they go home, they relax, they're normal, they don't have the pressure of a company. And all of these people they're helping, they're not on the go as much. So those things combined, I finally listened and I'm leaning in and I've cleared my schedule. The girls have helped me. Everybody's been so supportive on the team. But I say all of this because I realize so much shadow comes up for me around this. And so I created a blueprint. It's very simple for me. It's kind of how I used to work with clients. I just sort of do it to myself of like, what's step 1, 2, 3, and 4 I need to do to be in my worth, magnetism, manifestation, so that this isn't a lesson that keeps coming up in my life. And so we may release like the bones of how to do that for yourself, but I just wanted to share this with you guys because I am always doing the work side by side with you. And yeah, I'm really seeking in pursuit of forever magnetism and health. And so I'll just share a little background with you, how I'm processing this work side by side with you, shoulder to shoulder. So what came up for me is that all of the women in my life were sick growing up. And so it's a no-brainer that I've obviously manifested a very similar trajectory. And it's up to me to kind of break that cycle for everybody. My Aunt Linda suffered. I mean, she's just had everything wrong with her and been on antibiotics her whole life. I watched her being a bit bedridden growing up and, you know, suffering from that. My grandmother Sue, who raised me, also suffered from depression. And then when I was 8, she was diagnosed finally with Alzheimer's. And, you know, I saw her fully gone by 10. My grandmother Carol, by the time I was 10, I think it was also 9 or 8, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. So the only real memories I have of her is going to the hospital with her, watching her through chemo. My mom was diagnosed with Crohn's and colitis by the time I was 8, and has since exacerbated it all because she's an alcoholic. So those haven't healed. So I've watched her go through her own process with that. My Aunt Carrie, who was also very prominent in my life, always struggled with asthma, lost a lung, you know, it goes on and on. And then one of my dad's girlfriends, who was very formative in those years of inner child where we do that work. Her name was Peggy. She always sat at home and watched soap operas and had some quote unquote neck injury she experienced from, I think, riding a ride at some theme park. May have just been after getting some like settlement money. Not sure about that. But anyway, needless to say, all of my modeling from women in my life were that they weren't in perfect health. I actually, when I sat to do a DI around this, do not even have an expander for a woman in childhood who had perfect health, not one. And so also I saw a lot of people, especially namely men, growing up, cast a lot of shadow towards the women, that they were either faking it, they were lazy, they were weak. You know, it was unspoken energetic shadow. And as an empath, it was very known that these were the feelings that were being projected. So for me, I've always been in flight or fight survival since I was young. My mom, I still remember a very early memory with her was like, hurry up, walk faster. Cause she was young and had been raised in a very anxious and dysfunctional household. And I even remember saying, my legs aren't long enough to walk that fast. So my go, go, go-ness is constant. It never stops for me. Even when I'm doing a mundane task, I'm just at the 10th level doing it at all times. I also realize with the company and work, it's a high for me to be working because there's so many wins a day. So it's probably how maybe a stockbroker feels that, you know, when we see a testimonial or da-da-da-da, it's constant, that dopamine hit. And then also the transitions of the last 2 months have just been like, I've just been tested and tested and tested for now what's come through an incredible team and this like massive expansion and so many things coming through for us as a company. And I knew that was happening and I knew I just had to roll with those waves because there were a lot of firsts for me and I didn't have a trust muscle yet around a lot of those firsts. So I just knew I was going to be kind of fucking my body over, excuse my language. So anyways, in this blueprint, I break down, it's kind of like when I would be decoding a client, So step one, you know, it was recognizing all of the shadow I picked up, also all my caretakers, yada, yada. So now I know I need what I need to work through an inner child and shadow. Step two, an actionable, my codependency and empathy is so strong that because I prioritize everybody else's feelings and needs before my own, so it can be the company, family wanting to spend time, friends, social, it's very hard for me. You guys heard this in my episode with Dr. Nicole, to be upfront and actually say, I'm taking bed rest. I mean, that probably sounds crazy to the normal person. So it's needing to address my shadow in it. And then the real magnetism is going to come from the actionable of speaking the truth of why I'm not able to show up for the next 3 months. Even saying that to a couple teammates was really hard for me in my shadowiness. I'm like, oh my gosh, they must think I'm just such a prima donna or a diva or all, you know, all these shadowy things that come up from witnessing. And something that just everybody, you know, should know is there is a possibility that there are those thoughts and those judgments. I don't particularly think so with these team members at all, but until we shift our subconscious shadow into worth around it and project that worth, it's very common that the other party is in fact thinking exactly what we're fearful and projecting. But when we shift it, no conversation needs to take place. They just respect it. So that's just another teaching for people, that it's all energetic projection from the subconscious. It really doesn't have much to do with words in this realm of manifestation. So that's something really important. Getting to the root, how am I really, what's the actionable of healing this? It's going to be having to completely rewire my subconscious programming into mindfulness and consciously in the conscious realm, reinforcing it by practicing mindfulness all day long, catching my thoughts, going slower, doing one thing at a time. That's what's actually going to get to the root of this healing, right? Because I can do this bed rest and then crack myself all out again, you know, in another 6 months. And I'm not actually getting to the root of healing until I shift how I exist in the world. So getting back to that, my mom showing me go, 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 go. I actually literally, and it's going to take so much time for the neuroplasticity in this, have to reinforce daily through new action steps. Things I like to do in these times when I'm, and this is just a helpful tip for people. A lot of this stuff too, PS, we'll be speaking about on the speaking tour. So if you're even remotely interested, you're going to be asking questions, which will prompt a lot of exactly what I'm doing, answering questions and sharing teachings and actionables. So a great way to reinforce neuroplasticity a lot faster is by reinforcing it in the conscious realm. So an example of that is it's also using an opposite, something you don't do often. So let's say I have a notion as I'm working to start go, 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 like check my email here, but talk to this thing there while I'm on the phone with this person, get to the social media thing here. And then an actionable would be like, no, I'm just on the phone right now. And then actually taking my left hand and touching it on a place of my body that I don't touch at the same time I'm thinking that, it actually creates that neuroplasticity faster, because scientifically, when you do something you don't do while pairing it with a thought or a belief, it's creating a whole new synapsis because it's new. That's how our brain actually starts to adapt and form. Similarly, if we were in a situation of survival that was new for us. Another thing is own up to what I'm doing to everybody. So that's going to create a lot of magnetism. That's being brave. That's jumping off the cliff. That's looking my dad, who probably thinks I'm nuts, straight in the eyes and being like, I'm so sorry, I can't hang out because I'm on bed rest. And I think about that because he's probably going to be like, oh my God, here Lacey goes again. But that's a jumping off the cliff and an example of how to create that situational magnetism. And then, of course, another step in order to do this, I must unblock why I'm so afraid of others judging me, which I've been talking about, making fun of me, or like, for instance, my mom, if I have boundaries, I don't want her feelings to be hurt. This is my empathy. Social, people might not like me anymore if I'm this weird person who's doing this. The company, you know, they might not respect me. So it's really working through all of that shadow and inner child. And a shortcut step to me when I do this, I actually just do the daily DI titled the deep imagining, or inside the daily reprogramming exercise titled shadow and inner child DRE. And then last but not least, and I need to do it while in the process of this, is I need to go find expanders balanced in their masculine and feminine. They're grounded, they're successful, wealthy, totally in mindfulness. So they're practicing constant mindfulness. They're happy. They parent well. They're in shape by just doing the very simple things I can do for my body right now, which is walk and yoga. And yeah. And what I tend to do, and I share this a lot in my class, is I ask the universe to send these people to me. So I don't have to seek them out as much as they start to show up for me. The moment it's like calling in a partner that I ask them a lot. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, just to show you how I'm working through the Brave Roadmap this month. And I'm kind of one part of outing my shadows to all of you by saying, yeah, I'm literally going to take bed rest. I do have one expander, of course, in all of this who meets all of the criteria there, and that's Ashley Neese. So I'm one up so far, and I have my work cut out for me as I'm in Scotland alone, which I leave for tomorrow. And that's going to be really interesting. It's so exciting to go somewhere rainy where I'm not going to be able to explore as much as I thought I did. I'm staying at some really cool places. So it's going to be about reading books, channeling a lot, going slow, practicing mindfulness. So there's that. That's what I'm up to. That's my update. Yeah. And so an announcement, you know, I think I've said it a few times, but we also have a give 20, get 20 model right now. So if you're one of the people out there that's like, I tell all my friends about this, I always hear that. Well, now you can make money off of it, which I think is really fun. There's a link below for that if you are interested. Also, subscribe to the newsletter below. That's where I'm going to now be moving my roundups that I share with you. I used to share on the blog all the time. And so we'll be doing that once a month usually. So subscribe below. Also, when you subscribe, you enter to win potentially a lifetime membership to the pathway, which is so exciting. And let's get into this today's guest. I'm actually so excited for today's guest, Holly Madison. Somebody had showed, I've shared this with you guys before, but somebody showed that she had a screenshot in her Instagram stories with expanded that she was listening to behind it. And we were like, oh, wow, is she in the pathway? And she was. And so we reached out to her to see if she would do the process episode. And this one is going to expand, I don't care what walk of life you come from. Upon joining the pathway, she had total crickets in love and dating. And then within 4 months manifested her partner. A real highlight is that she's known since a very young age, she's been manifesting, or she had been manifesting to become a bunny. I think she's a true light being in the world. You hear me say that in this episode, but she just shows up so bright, so honest, so pure. She's doing this work as hard as I think I am. I think she's actually really practicing it all the time. And so we really go through her process, the ups, downs, her tests, her pings, everything that's going on in her life and her career. She's very transparent about. She's kind of in a big, long magic dark with career right now. So if you're not familiar with Holly Madison, she was a girlfriend to Hugh Hefner. She manifested that in college to become a playmate. And she became, I think, his head girlfriend. So she was in that TV show, that reality show. She went on to have her own show, Vegas shows. She is a writer, so she has books as well. She's a New York Times bestseller. I mean, you get to hear her. She was like epically crazy at manifesting for a very long time. And then she's kind of had to backtrack since having kids to be like, how does this work and how do I do it? So I think everybody can resonate with this episode if you especially follow this work. If you don't, I think it's going to inspire you to check it out. If it does, use the code JOURNEY, all caps, JOURNEY, for 1 month free when you join the 12-month pathway membership. Or you'll get it for 10% off if you get an a la carte workshop. Let's meet Holly. I'm so excited for you guys.
So welcome, Holly, to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
We are very excited because I think that you can serve as like a massive, massive expander for people.
Oh, I hope so.
And just like such deep transformation. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Lila and I were talking about it. We watched the show back in high school and stuff. So I think a lot of people are familiar with that part of your life, which was such an early part. Mm-hmm. And then now transitioning into all of the other things that you're up to.
I feel like I've lived two adult lives.
Oh, I can imagine.
It feels like two separate things.
Well, let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Cultural upbringing and background.
I grew up in Alaska. I moved there when I was 3 and I lived there until I was 10. And we lived in a really rural town called Craig on Prince of Wales Island. It's like in the southeastern corner of Alaska. And if you've ever seen a show like Alaskan Bush People or something, that's how it is. It's like super, super rural, small town. You're hunting and fishing and all that. So I moved to Oregon when I was 10. And that was a culture shock, just going from Alaska, where you're living like Little House on the Prairie kind of, to quote unquote normal. And I feel like that kind of shocked me into like inauthenticity, because when you're that young and you feel like you're not like everyone else, you're kind of like putting this veneer on to make yourself more comfortable. And that like went way into my 20s.
Oh yeah. And that's just so common for, I think, any school age kid, but that especially, thinking something's a reality and then moving to something that's like, holy shit.
Exactly.
And I think Jewel is another person who grew up in Alaska, but I had a friend who visited recently and she was like, no, Lacey, it really is like they have their own laws and stuff.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's unkept and touched.
And it's really interesting. I feel like people who are drawn to Alaska or raised there, they're so independent. And sometimes people from other places don't really understand that. And I can come off really cold and really, I don't know, maybe snobby or something. But it's just, it's that Alaska thing where you're so independent.
And what took you to Alaska?
My dad was working in the timber industry and it was just like a better job at the time. And then my parents decided we needed to get back, you know, to Oregon where things were more normal.
And what was sort of their upbringings like, their, in a nutshell, their family environments?
They went to the same high school in Oregon and they were both the youngest of 6 kids. Yeah. And I don't think my mom had a lot of money and my dad's family did okay.
Okay. Yeah. And so that was sort of their whole deal.
Yeah.
And then for you, because you're doing the work, so we're going to go through a little bit of this because I think it'll really be helpful for people. When you first started the work, what were you currently manifesting at that time?
I had just gone through a divorce and I was moving back into my house. And I was working on writing a manuscript and my friend Claire was doing your program and she was like, you need to do this and you should start with partnership. And at the time I wasn't actively looking for anybody because I just got a divorce and I was like, I'm going to be fine being alone if that's the thing. But I was kind of a little bit disheartened because I wasn't seeing anybody I was even interested in, like no expanders, nothing, not in real life, not a celebrity, not on social media, just nothing I was even remotely interested in. And Claire was like, try this. My friend did it. It worked in 4 months and it worked in 4 months for me too.
And for you, when you intuit, because I perceive you as somebody who's actually very incredibly intuitive. And we just had a chat before this, how your kids are. So there's no way you're not if they are. What were you intuiting why you weren't seeing a reflection of any expand? Now, having done the work, like why nothing was presenting?
Oh, I don't know if I have a really good answer for that, except maybe the timing wasn't right and the universe just wanted me to make the right decision. And I think I was being tested too, because when I decided I was getting a divorce, it's like a lot of financial things like fell through, like royalties all of a sudden. And they would be royalties from different things, whether it was like gaming or books or things like that. It's like they all got cut in half almost instantly. It was the weirdest thing. It was
you had tools.
Yeah, it was one of those really obvious tests where they're like, are you sure you want to do this?
Wow. And how did you handle that time period? Because it can make you feel super unstable, right? You've been in a partnership, things feel stable, and now it's like, whew, the ground's being pulled out from under me.
I think I just had such a clear vision of what I wanted. I couldn't really let go of it. Like, I knew I wanted to write and just be a writer. And even though that wasn't paying off right away, it didn't matter. That's what I wanted to do. So I was going to stubbornly stick with it. And, you know, I decided I was okay with being alone too, even though I wasn't seeing any expanders. I just feel like I was meant to move on because it was what was best for me and my husband at the time, mm-hmm. not because I met somebody else. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad it happened that way.
So organic.
Yeah.
This is a good place to ask what your chart looks like, your astrology chart.
Oh, well, I'm a Capricorn sun and I have Mars in Capricorn. So I'm really focused on career things and I'm really stubborn and
beautiful. Every Capricorn I know is beautiful.
Thank you.
I've never met one of them that isn't.
I'm a Libra moon, Aquarius rising, and I have Venus in Scorpio, which I identify with mm-hmm. quite a bit. And I also have a moon Pluto conjunction in my eighth house, which cool. I think influences me a lot.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. And what about human design? Do you know?
I do. I'm not super into it, but I did look it up. I'm a generator and I'm a non-specific manifester, which I was surprised to learn.
Let's hear about that because so is Lila, who's a Capricorn mm-hmm. and very list oriented.
Yeah.
When you were starting the work, did you find when you crafted your list mm-hmm. that what you did end up manifesting in this new experience with this new partnership, mm-hmm. was everything on your list? Or had it have been more useful if you went the more non-specific route?
No, I felt like specific was really good, but he's also even more interesting than all the things I put on my list. Like I had about 30 things on the
list.
Can
we hear some of them?
Oh my gosh.
Anything that's not too
personal.
Well,
you know what's interesting and advice for women out there, anybody starting a relationship, is some of them you're just not going to know in the beginning because obviously I want somebody who's loyal and somebody who treats me good, but everybody seems like that in the beginning.
Totally.
So it's still kind of like, okay, so far so good. But the other things were, I just wanted somebody who would kind of, you know, let me be free to do what I needed to do, like not particularly controlling or anything. And somebody who was really passionate about what they did and somebody who was smart and funny and all the things. I don't think it was really anything that unique. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody I had chemistry
up.
With. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And what do you think you now, like you said, you feel like you've lived two adult lives.
Yeah.
You calling in something now, having been through a marriage, having mm-hmm. children, obviously we know publicly, like having had the early 20s start mm-hmm. you had in relationship realm. How do you think those two lists vary? How have you grown?
Well, when I was in college, I always knew that I was going to have like two different career paths because for some reason I really wanted to be a famous playmate. That was just something
you always knew that.
Always.
Since
I was like
young.
High school. Yeah.
Tell us about when that downloaded.
I don't remember. I think it was when like Anna Nicole Smith was in the guest ads and that was like, I was probably in junior high. And I remember my grandma made a comment about how pretty she was and how much she looked like Marilyn Monroe. And I was like, I want to be as pretty as her.
Wow.
And that kind of started it, I think. But I always knew I wanted to do that, but I always knew that that wouldn't be something that would be satisfying for long and that I would want to do something of more substance later. So that's why I was okay with dropping out of college. I mm-hmm. dropped out when I was about halfway through.
And you were at Loyola?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if I wanted to be a playmate, I couldn't do that when I was older, but mm-hmm. I could do pretty much anything else when I was older. So I could always go back. I knew that.
Do you find that, because that's like such a manifestation realized. I mean, for sure. When you look at kind of this format of manifesting, mm-hmm. do you feel like subconsciously you played any of those roles and parts of the formula back then?
I think.
Or however you manifested it.
I mean, when I think back to being really young, I'm not really sure. I did that project you have. I think it's like in the formula and magnetism where you think about times you manifested in the past and how the pillars played into that. And I didn't go back super far, but I went back maybe like 10 years ago. And I remember I was just like obnoxiously authentic, like to the point where like I would do interviews and I look back on it like, dang, I'm like wearing my heart on my sleeve and not even caring about what I'm saying.
What would be an example of one for the person listening of like how you truly were aligning with your authenticity?
I would do interviews and I would tell people exactly what I wanted to do and was planning on doing. And I know there's a superstition out there that you're not really supposed to share what you're trying to manifest. But when I first moved to Vegas and was doing a live show there, I was like, I'm going to do a reality show and it's going to be about me and having the show in Vegas. And of course you get all this pushback, like that's dumb. Like, you know, all the trolls on the internet.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. I would just tell I would answer any question for any interview and like not even care about, which is weird because I'm usually really private, but mm-hmm. I was just going through this like really authentic phase. And I think the only time I ever held back on anything was if I didn't want to like out somebody else mm-hmm. or make somebody else look bad. That was the only way I would hold back.
And so you were very magnetic.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. That's it. And then did you have to pass any tests when it came to that point of manifesting, like becoming a bunny and also becoming a girlfriend?
You know, I don't know if tests play as strong a role with my manifesting as it does with other people. Either that or I'm just really good at passing them or really good at
blocking. I want to talk about this if you don't experience them.
Yeah. Or I'm good at just like blocking the entryway to stuff I feel like is not what I want. And that might be like the Capricorn stubborn side. Like I know what I want. So if anything else comes along, it doesn't even get far enough to be a test, maybe.
Did either of your parents have that quality about them?
Being stubborn or just passing tests?
I say like worth, where you're like, I'm not settling for anything less than exactly what I want. Therefore, you're not being tested on it.
You know what? I don't really know, because my parents were always very like, I feel like careful and formal around me. Like they're the type of parents who don't want to fight in front of their kids. Mm. So I don't feel like I know them on that level, kind of. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure.
How have they felt about your whole journey into all of your career, everything you've done?
They've always been really supportive. Like they always saw when I was younger, when I was, you know, in high school or whatever, I was just frustrated living in a small town and being normal and kind of wanted to be out there having unusual experiences. And they understand that about me. So they don't really judge.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's nice.
What a lucky family. Okay. So going back to being a non-specific, your list, tell us about your journey of manifesting in this new dating experience.
Well, I did the partnership course and I made my list, and then I kind of forgot about it and started working on other things. When it came to manifestation and meditation, I was doing your other courses. And I think maybe it came through because I got to a point where I was like spending a month in Vegas. So I was like out of my usual routine, mm-hmm. because I was still living with my ex-husband. We hadn't like moved into our new places yet. So I think just a change of scenery really helped more things come through, and just a change of energy and, you know, being around old friends and things like that. And just kind of giving myself permission, I think, to look around as well.
Wonderful. And what has been your biggest rock bottom in life?
Oh man.
which one?
Yeah. I think right after I moved out of the mansion, I had a really short relationship that really like emotionally like threw me for a loop. And it felt like such a rock bottom because it was one of those relationships where, you know, he was really controlling and had all these prerequisites for the relationship to even happen. And I just had no boundaries and I like went along with all of it, even though I knew it wasn't a very good idea. And luckily that relationship ended quickly. But when I came out of it, I kind of felt like I had given up so much for this person, and it was very humbling. And I just felt like everybody in my life knew it and like mm-hmm. saw me fall on my butt or whatever. But it's interesting looking back, because I was more magnetic right then than I'd ever been. And everything I was calling in came within months. Like some of the things even came within days of the breakup happening. And it's weird too, because when I look back on people I might consider like the biggest villains in my life, they're also almost always the biggest expanders.
Completely.
It's so weird.
No, and that's a common theme for anybody mm-hmm. listening, whether you're leaving someone or you're like getting thrashed and being left. You are so magnetic, because the universe just starts throwing you bones for not being in an experience that doesn't serve you anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Either way. So I have a very similar experience. And that was when I started like booking a lead in a film, and just nice. Like things were coming through
it's so weird. It's so weird and like counterintuitive.
I know.
But
I know.
It's awesome.
And it's stuff that when I was learning traditional manifestation, nothing talks about any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? This happens every time.
Yeah.
Like there's something here energetically. So
yeah, it's crazy.
I can identify. Going back to your, because you've written a book, two books now.
Yeah.
Two books. Mm-hmm. So, and I haven't had the luxury of reading them before this. And I started
I should have brought some for you.
I know.
I was like, I never think of that.
I was looking through quotes and I was like, holy shit, she has so much to share from her life. Can you talk about like the ups and downs, things you've learned and grown during the phase of the mansion, mm-hmm. also during the phase of reality after Vegas and relationship?
Oh my gosh. Wow. It's really hard to know where to start.
Totally.
I think for me, the biggest thing was boundaries. I think I always compromised my boundaries. If I liked somebody and they had specific rules for a relationship, even if I didn't like it at first, I was like, I'm not going to go along with this. I would buckle almost immediately. So it was really learning my own boundaries and just being authentic and sticking to them. And it's not always easy to learn your boundaries in the moment. I think it takes being away from relationships for a minute sometimes to realize. Yeah, so I think that's the biggest theme for sure.
Mm-hmm. Of them all. Mm-hmm. And in career, have you noticed any patterns when you were doing that exercise and looking back? Because you've gone on to have show. I mean, you've done so an array of things. Can you pinpoint? Because I am intuiting that the two biggest motivators for you in life are love and really love and career.
Yeah, those for
are
sure. the two.
Me too. What were some of the things you've consciously manifested and gotten just quickly? Like, what was some of your personal patterning that we could look at?
Well, the thing that happened most quickly was the experience I was just talking about, where I was in that short relationship that just like crashed and burned. And I wanted to do some very specific things. I wanted to do a burlesque show in Vegas. I wanted my own reality show. And I really wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars, because this is like 10 years ago. And it used to be such a big publicity push to do that back then. And I always thought it looked fun. And I loved the costumes. And I really wanted to do it. And I interviewed for it several times and was always turned down because they didn't think that like somebody from Playboy would be a good match for like ABC. And I knew when I was writing my list and manifesting, I was like, okay, I want to do Dancing with the Stars, but I know they've already cast this upcoming season. So I'll just like ask again next season. But then like the next day, I got this phone call that somebody got injured and they needed somebody to fill in at the last minute. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Wow.
So it was like a weird instant manifestation. It was so fast. And then I got my show in Vegas, which was a much bigger and better show than I had even thought about doing. It was something that paid way more and it was a way bigger production than what I had been interested in previously. That came along like, well, I started actually working in it 3 months later. So I must have got the offer like maybe a month or 2 months after I had written that list, like after the breakup and I wrote the list. And then I got my TV show like 9 months later.
Incredible.
Yeah, so
and
it
has it
super
continued
fast.
The same sort of magnetism throughout in life?
No. And I wanted to talk about that because I think when you have kids, it can really
mess
up your manifestation because it just changes the pillars so much. First of all, there's the pillar of feeling free. You're not free anymore.
Totally.
You have this huge, I mean, I like the idea.
It's like your heart is outside of you at all times.
I mean, I like the idea that I could get to the place, and I think I'm getting closer, where I can feel free again, but it's just such a massive responsibility that, like it or not, you're not free the way you used to be. So it's something you have to adjust to. And then there's the thing about being a mom where everybody's going to judge you. It's going to be people you don't know. It's going to be trolls online who think you're not posting enough pictures of your kids. It could be your partner. It could be in-laws. It could be friends who have kids and friends who don't have kids. Like, everybody loves to judge a mother and how she's doing. And that can really get to you. And it can either...
What do you have to say about that? Because I, as somebody who's not a mother, I just think that's a huge problem in society.
Yeah, it's really rough. And I think it comes from people always imagining, oh, if I had kids, it would be this way. And they think they know how it's going to go. And it's like, no, you don't really know until your kid
comes along. Another component too is like, everybody just assumes maybe kids are like one size fits all. When they come, they're completely fucking unique.
Yeah,
their
you don't know what
things.
You're going to get at all.
Totally.
And I feel like that judgment can lead you to either being really inauthentic because you're trying to fit society's idea of what a good mother is, or you can stick to your guns and be your type of mom, but then that can lead to shadow because you have all these voices in your head and people constantly criticizing you. And then you start to wonder, wow, am I really too selfish? And so it's just, I feel like for me, I have to relearn manifestation. And that's what I've been doing since I started your courses, because I used to be so crazy good at manifesting. It was like Elsa from Frozen. Like, I could point at something and it would freeze.
Wow.
And just, and then like for the past 3 years, I just felt like I was in this massive rut and I was like, okay, what am I doing? And now it's starting to pick up again. But I feel like I have to completely relearn manifestation now that I'm a mom.
And they're such... Can you talk a little bit about how intuitive they are, these little guys?
Yeah, I have little psychic kids. Like, they see dead people and they...
They're mediums. I mean, I think all kids are. When they're little, I think they just lose the sight.
Yeah, I mean, Rainbow said things that you know, she's predicted things or seen things literally around the corner. And I think it's really amazing. And I hope they don't lose it.
Could you feel them around you before you brought them through?
Yeah. Ever since I was like in my 20s, I always knew I was destined to have kids. And I had the biggest anxiety when I lived at the mansion because I was like, oh my God, I'm 25. I'm getting too old to have kids, which is ludicrous.
Yeah, but we're all kind of taught
to think that like our eggs are going to die at age 27 or something stupid, which isn't true. But I had all this anxiety like, wow, I'm here. I'm not out there meeting anybody. I'm never going to have kids. And I knew I was meant to. And I knew I was supposed to have at least two. And I did.
Wow. And so, was it very simple for you, the process?
Once I met their dad, that was easy.
Yeah.
But I always had anxiety leading up to that because I had that thing that I think so many women in our society have where we think we're going to get too old.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
At like a really young age.
Do you feel like you brought them through or they came through right at the right time when they were supposed to?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like I met their dad because they were supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And when we were working on the second one, at that point we were both like, oh, we're going to have like six kids together. And I was doing IVF to like store embryos and I got one and then nothing else would work. And then I got this download that, okay, you need to use that male embryo and he wants to be conceived in November. And
how does that, like, how do you intuit your downloads? How do they come through to you? Is it like,
it's like clairsentient, like they just pop in my head or claircognizant, I guess is like the right word for that. Yeah. They just pop into my head and it's like a knowing.
Me too. That's so, mine.
It wasn't working getting any other embryos to happen. So I knew that I just had to use that one. And he wanted to be conceived in November, even though it was February and we were trying to get pregnant then. I was like, nope, I'm going to wait till November. That's when he wants it to happen. And it did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's and what do you have a lot of pings that come through? Like, are they very strong that way when they do come through?
Yeah. I wish I had more though. Like I'm always on alert. Like I want more clues. Give me more clues.
Tell me what have been some recent ones that have hit you?
Well, when I met the person I'm seeing, it was because a friend of mine in Vegas reached out and was like, oh, let's go do this tonight. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, what is this? And it was a person that I really like, but I don't hang out with that much. And he just said it like, we're going to go do this. And I was like, ugh, I just got done working out. I feel gross, but something was telling me to go.
You just had
and
that.
And I went, and that was what started us talking.
And is that, did it come through claircognizant as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So you, that's your superpower.
Yeah. I love that. I just wish I had more of it.
Like, me too.
Hi universe. I'm opening myself up to more. Send more.
Send more. What have been your spiritual practices throughout your life?
I don't think I had any for the longest time. I just started meditating recently. And I feel like I've been more spiritual since I got pregnant with my first kid.
Mm, do you feel like a lot of your gifts opened up?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Everybody says that.
Yeah. I have more ghost experiences now.
What are some that have come through recently?
Ghost experiences?
Yeah, I have them too. They're presenting themselves everywhere.
It's amazing. Yeah. Well, every house I've lived in or apartment since I've been an adult, I've had some kind of ghost thing happen, and it's just happening more and more lately, and I love it. I think it's really entertaining.
And you're not afraid of any of it?
No, I'm not afraid of any of it. The only thing I don't like is when they do something that makes me think there's an intruder, because I'm always really conscientious of making sure all my doors are locked and my alarm set at night. And then recently I was asleep and the door to my bedroom, it's an old house that was built in the 20s, and the door sticks. And every time I shut it before I go to bed, I make sure that like the hardware is clicked in and everything like that. But in the middle of the night, the door just popped open super loud and there's no air vent or anything that. And the door sticks. It's hard to open for a normal person.
Wow.
And I just popped up out of bed, like so scared, because I thought it was an intruder that somehow got past the alarm. And I was like, okay. And then I start hearing the sounds of things falling, nothing's falling in which is like a signature of my house. And I'm like, you guys just don't wake me up. Like
yeah,
you're
please.
Welcome to stay, but don't wake me up. And they haven't.
The medium I'm training under is like, give them office hours. You're like, I'm available from this time to this time and that's it. And you can come through this way. And I've been working with that where it's like, through meditation, you're welcome during this time to this time. You can tell me any messages or whatever connection you want to have, but otherwise my office hours are closed.
Yeah. So I'm like a crazy person at my house, just like talking to the air, like, don't wake me up, guys.
No, your kids probably see and get it.
Yeah.
No, honestly, you're probably a light being in the sense they're just really, that's always been my case, is they're really drawn to my light. They want to be around it.
And that's amazing.
Spirits are like, I want to be around the light, which I
feel
like
it's so fun.
It's amazing. And have you ever seen anything?
Yeah, I saw a fully, what looked like a fully formed person when I first moved into the Playboy Mansion and I was 22. I was working out in the gym and I saw a girl walk by and she looked contemporary. She wasn't anybody I knew, but she looked like the type of person who would have been invited up to the pool parties, and people were always welcome to use the gym. So sometimes people would bring, you know, workout clothes and work out. And I saw her walk by me in the gym and she just disappeared around a corner, and I was on the treadmill facing one way. So I would have seen her if she came back out, and she never came back out. And when my workout was done, I was like, okay, I'm going to go around the corner and introduce myself. And she wasn't there anymore. And I couldn't really make any sense of it.
Were there a lot of stories and reports of different ghosts being sighted at the mansion?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. Yeah, my friend Bridget, who lived there at the same time, she's really sensitive to that kind of thing. She full on saw an apparition in her room. And she was with two other people who saw the apparition at the same time.
Wow.
Two other people who aren't necessarily that sensitive. So that was a really strong one coming through.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I went to the mansion twice when I was 21. And it was a fun time.
It's really super fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was
the perfect house to be haunted.
Oh.
There's like secret passageways in there and like doors that pop open. And
what's happening now that he's passed? I mean, I don't know if you know, but like,
oh, they sold the house the guy who had the house next door, and he's doing some remodeling and stuff. But it's random because like my hairdresser does his hair and he'll post pictures from up there. And it's still a lot the same, like the grounds. And like, I guess the new owner like loves the zoo and wants to get more animals. So
is it bittersweet to you? I mean, because it's such an iconic thing now that it's no longer an institute anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I know Hef always wanted it to be a museum, and that just wasn't going to happen because of zoning in the area. And it would have been such an expensive property to maintain in that way. But I think it's great that the house is going to somebody who obviously loves it. It was somebody who wanted to buy the house and Hef wouldn't sell it. So he bought the house next door and like squatted literally until somebody died. Sorry. That sounds so
mean.
No,
it's true.
This guy
really
probably
true.
Hates me now. But I just love it that the house went to somebody who obviously loves it and wants to make it a home. And, you know, they still throw like private 4th of July parties that are very much like the 4th of July parties that Hef would have. And those were my favorite parties. So I think it's really nice to see somebody that just truly loves the property.
I think that's the most important thing. Cause it really, I mean, it's iconic.
Yeah.
It really,
you know, and it's such a, I mean, just even beside being the Playboy Mansion, it's a beautiful home. It's
beautiful.
So gorgeous. Yeah.
The property, the grounds, everything. I remember just being like, wow.
Who doesn't want a gothic castle?
I mean, with a zoo and like a grotto.
Yeah. I'll keep you posted.
Just point and shoot. Yeah, you have all your tools. That's awesome. What for you? Did you go through Repairing in Shadow?
Yeah, I did.
What were your experiences that came up then?
Oh my gosh. Well, the first thing I noticed with reparent is that no one can ever be the perfect parent.
Nobody.
And I don't think anybody should say that as an excuse for bad behavior, but it made me realize that, wow, Rainbow's going to do this when she's older and have some complaints about me, because it's just like what we need when we're young is stuff that's impossible to give. Like when I was doing, I think it was the infant meditation, like I realized that I wanted to be held and have human contact 24/7. Like I wanted to be living in one of those like wrap things that moms wear, but nobody can do that 24/7. So it's just like impossible.
Age.
Like, you know, every kid's going to grow up with some lack.
I always say, no matter what, you're going to fuck your kids up, whether you want to or not. The three things you can give them is self. Well, there's a few things, but I really think self-worth, really believing in any dream they have, anything like their sight, everything they want to do, and then finding them expanders.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Even if they're like, today I want to be a rocket scientist, tomorrow I want to be a bear. I don't care. Find an expander for them.
Yeah.
And they'll be successful, you know, internally have that sense of worth, and then also successful in this world. I think so too. What about for Shadow?
Shadow is, well, I'm redoing that because I'm doing a roadmap now. So I'm trying to remember like what the first, Shadow was fun. I like that one because it's the one where you pick out like your crazy shadow word.
Yeah. What were your big ones?
Failure, which I think for a Capricorn, failure is probably the worst thing you could ever be perceived as.
Absolutely.
So that was one. And then another one was crazy. And when I say crazy, I don't mean mentally ill. I mean like the crazy obsessive girlfriend. And I don't think that was even necessarily something I was so much as something that people projected onto me because I was in a situation publicly that they couldn't relate to.
Totally.
So, oh my God, you'd have to be crazy. But it sunk into me, like that judgment sunk into me so much that when I would date after that, I was pretty extreme in like not expressing myself if I was interested in someone and just like acting really nonchalant no matter what. And I only just recently, I think, like recognized that and came out of it and started to get more authentic.
Awesome.
So those were my two big ones. But I also like that's the one where you send the email to your friends and they have to come
up
with
like, respond?
Well, my friend Claire was the one who told me about your program. So she knew exactly how to do it. And I had already done it for her. Yeah. I think that's how I learned about it was she sent me a big long text asking me, you know, to answer it.
It's a tricky because so people
it's hard
are
to
afraid.
Find the right people. Yeah. I asked four female friends of mine, you know, Claire, who was doing it, answered it perfectly. I had another friend who answered it perfectly and was really insightful. I had another friend who kind of sort of did. And then I had a people pleaser friend who was like,
"You're
no,
perfect.
I just think you're really good at manifesting. I can't think of anything." So my advice, if you're doing shadow, is just don't ask a people pleaser.
No.
That's the first one to stay away from.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode to invite you, if you're ready to start your manifestation journey, or if anything you've heard in our manifestation episodes has piqued your interest to begin, we have a la carte workshops in everything from the basics bundle, which is what we recommend to everyone who starts. It's the formula that actually teaches you how to manifest, unblocked inner child, and unblocked shadow. We also have a la carte workshops on love and money. But the real gem is the Pathway membership because it encompasses every single workshop we have. It's a year-long membership with full access to the few a la carte offerings we have and exclusive workshops not available anywhere else, such as the daily practice, which is what everybody in the Pathway uses, hopefully at least three times a week to daily in order to truly create the new neural pathways that one needs in order to manifest, and houses the library of our deep imaginings, which is our unique hypnosis process that allows you to get into your subconscious and overwrite those old neural pathways, creating the new ones. You can use our special code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, to receive $20 off your first a la carte workshop purchase or $20 off your first month of the pathway. Again, that's all caps, EXPANDED, EXPANDED. Okay, now back to the episode.
Are you comfortable giving any feedback that they gave you?
Some of it was stuff. I'm trying to remember what it was. I feel like some of it was stuff I had already started to work on and recognize. So it wasn't a surprise. But one of my friends was really observant about how communication avoidant I was and how I had so much fear of even like asking a question and so much fear about what somebody's response was going to be that it was almost debilitating. Mm-hmm. And she really, you know, pointed that out. And I already knew that was a problem, but it's kind of reassuring to know it's a big enough problem that somebody else notices it. It makes you feel more empowered going forward, trying to work on it and fix it.
I agree.
Just helps identify it better.
Were you able to pinpoint any roots of where you picked them up in childhood?
As far as being scared to communicate, I think part of it was growing up in a really isolated environment. Mm-hmm. And my parents, with all the best intentions, were always, you know, so perfect around us and never fought. And, you know, you don't learn, you know, conflict resolution at home at all when that happens. I just don't really engage and connect with people the way other people do. And I think people interpret that as me being rude or being snobby or, you know, being mean. And it's honestly not my intention. I just don't connect and process communicating with other people. And that's something I can work on and get better at. But I don't know if I'll ever, I mean, I'll never have the ease with it that most people have naturally.
Do you feel like you're an old soul or a newer soul?
Oh, I know I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some things that help you feel that and confirm that?
Well, everybody would always comment when I was a kid, I always seemed more serious and older. I think that's also a Capricorn
Very
thing too.
Very Capricorn, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like I've done past life regressions and I can see like old ancient Egypt stuff, like super crazy old. Like a friend of mine was saying, oh, I somebody, a shaman came up and told me I had 6 past lives. I'm like, only 6? I've seen like 20. Just like glimpses here and there.
What would be a piece of advice since doing the work? Mm-hmm. Now you see a completion of the process. You manifested the current partnership you're in.
Yeah.
The biggest piece of advice to keep them going or just generally through doing the work?
It's hard for me to give advice, I think, other than just try and do it every day. Like keep steady, keep doing your journal. Because for me, I just get so stubborn and fixated on a goal that mm-hmm. it's just kind of like an easy flow to work towards something from there once you have the materials. Yeah, I would just say, you know, keep going every day and keep having faith and keep looking for the tests. And it's also really helpful too if you have a friend who's going through it, because it makes it so much more fun. And when you talk about things like tests that other people don't necessarily understand,
totally.
It's like you can bounce off of each other and I feel like you can get through it faster and get results faster that way.
Claire was the one that also manifested a partnership in 4 months.
No, she said a friend of hers did.
Well, yeah. Has she manifested since Claire doing it?
Well, she's already in a relationship. I think, I'm not sure if she's working on something specific, like career-wise.
Okay.
Oh no, she did say she found an investor for a business.
Wow.
Which is major.
That's yeah. even better than a partner. Yeah. Like, thank you. I'll trade Max for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Have you had a magic dark or even now knowing this work in terminology?
I feel like career-wise, I'm in one for sure.
Tell us about what that feels like.
It just feels really weird and slow and sloggy, and like you've done absolutely everything you can do and you're kind of like bashing your head against the wall, like what else can I do? Like for me, it's like writing a manuscript and then finding like the right publisher to sell it to, like, and it's just such a I feel like it's a slow process, mm-hmm. the publishing industry compared to like reality TV and shows in Vegas and things
yeah.
like that. So I feel like it's really slow and sloggy for me. And I just want to get to the point where I'm working with an editor and getting to the point where I'm looking at cover art and things like that. So that's my magic dark right now. It's funny because when my friend Claire first told me about this, she's like, would you say you're in a magic dark right now? And I'm like, I better be.
Well, how does this magic dark feel different than when you felt like you were in that 3-year rut?
I feel like it's different because I know I've done work, like I've finished a manuscript. I
yeah.
know I've done work. I know I'm just at that place where it's going to go to the next level
yeah.
where you kind of feel like you're on an edge of a cliff.
Totally.
It's not like when I was in a rut, it was more like along the lines where I was like starting the manuscript or deep in or didn't really know what I wanted or was unsure, like, you know, should I stay in this marriage? Should I not? I feel like a rut is more of an unsure place. And when you're in a magic dark, you know exactly what you want. And it's just like, you're kind of waiting.
Said it so perfectly. So you guys listening, that was great.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know I'm actually in a magic dark.
Yes. No, you do sound like you are for
perfect.
Sure. Especially based on like how much you're just up leveling your energy.
Yeah.
It's the way it rolls,
yeah.
period. Did you have a conscious uncoupling with your marriage?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I knew that we both weren't as happy and fulfilled as we could be. And I knew very clearly what he needed in a partner and that I wasn't turning out to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard because, you know, he wanted to stay together for the kids' sake and wanted to do all he could, you know, to try and make it work. But yeah, I mean, we're great partners as far as co-parenting and everything. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's pretty conscious.
Would you have any advice? Because I feel like that's so many people can stay in something too long out of X, Y, and Z
yeah.
reasons. Like, what would be your word of advice
for
authenticity?
I don't know if I have really good advice. You just have to move forward with it. And
yeah.
it's hard to have advice because you just never know how the partner's going to react or if they're going to want the same thing. And I'm really, really lucky in that I was married to somebody who's a good dad.
Oh, wow.
And when somebody wants to make everything right for the kids, they're not going to turn into this horrible monster who's going to like try and ruin you.
Yeah, totally. Thank God.
So I don't know if I really have any advice because I was lucky that way. I just think you have to be honest and, you know, move toward what you think is best for you and your partner.
And do you feel like due to watching the modeling of your parents growing mm-hmm. up, like you've attracted really wonderful, solid partners in your life?
Yeah, that probably plays into it for sure. But I think I also have a really hard time communicating because they never like fought in front of us, or which is, you know, I know they had the best intentions.
Oh,
and
completely.
I know it takes so much discipline to never like fight in front of your
kids. I mean, if that was the only thing that they did wrong, like, thank you, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they're a great expander as far as seeing people who are, you know, they're still together after, I don't know. I mean, I'm 40, so over 40 years.
Wow.
So that's great. But also, you know, I really needed to learn to communicate like a normal person.
Yeah. What are your biggest triggers still today? Like, you know, you haven't fully reprogrammed them or...
Oh, man. I think, you know, when you see things that like... trolls, right? And anybody wants to like hit on the gold digger thing. I'm just
let's talk about trolls for a minute. Because I even get them. You know, I have like a very strong like block and bless policy. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
you're
me too.
Out of
yeah.
here. But what, like, how do you navigate that?
Well, I'm really good at avoiding it. But even though you're good at avoiding it, if you use social media at all, sometimes it'll still kind of filter in because somebody might tag you on Twitter and it's somebody new that you haven't blocked yet.
Yeah.
Or somebody might leave a comment on your Instagram and, you know, they're not using any of your blocked words or anything. So it gets through. But it's funny because trolls can be like your biggest indicator of shadow, because if somebody is saying something to you that you're totally not bothered by, like if somebody was like, Holly, you're a serial killer, I just laugh because obviously that's not true. But if somebody says, ew, you look so tired and old in this picture, I'd be like, oh, yeah, my day's ruined because I look old. So it's like you can find your shadow things real quick.
Also, on the whole gold digger topic, yeah. I don't think people realize how much fucking work you have to put in if you're doing things like a burlesque show, a reality, your own reality television, writing a book.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, when I was living at the mansion, yeah, it's amazing to live in a beautiful house like that and not have bills and things. But, you know, I, at the end of the day, I left with no guarantees. I wasn't like staying and I could have, because I would have been left money in as well, but I didn't want to do that. It just didn't feel like the right thing for us or the right thing for me. So
how long were you guys together technically?
7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was like my 20s.
You grew up in that house.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because I catch myself saying, oh, I grew up around this, and it'll be something that actually happened in my 20s, not my childhood.
Wow.
But it was so formative for me.
And how old were you when you went in?
22.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was 29 when I left.
29 too, with no guarantees.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
not
bold.
At all. Yeah. Well, it was my Saturn return. It was exactly, I was 29 and a half and I was like, gotta leave. Bye bye.
What other things during Saturn return did you go, I gotta get rid of this now or it's gonna come back?
Oh
again?
My gosh. Well, my Saturn return was crazy, because if you look at from when I was 29 and a half to when I was 30 and a half, that was when all the change happened. It was like, I got super depressed at the mansion, knew I had to leave. And then I got into this other relationship, which ended really quickly. And then I got my show and my TV show. And it was like my life completely changed in that year.
That makes so much
sense,
like, in manifestation.
It was the cookie cutter Saturn return.
What for you, for instance, because I get, like, I'm claircognizant, mm-hmm. but I'll also get little whispers when I know. A great example is when I was in my last relationship, I was right about to fall asleep, and I don't know who it was, but it was a guide, obviously, mm-hmm. whispered into my ear, leave, leave.
That's
how
amazing.
How do yours come when you're like, I gotta go, I've gotta go?
It comes through depression. I get really hard depression that will yank me out of any denial or anything.
And when you're not authentic.
Yeah, exactly. The depression comes hard.
How did that one, like, how long did it last? Because, I mean, that's a huge leap of faith. You have, like, everything set up for you seemingly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also have fame from it. You have, I mean, all these things. And you're like, no, I've gotta go. And you have like no past experience in the real world through your 20s. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. I feel like I have about 10 years of arrested development because of I feel kind of immature because of it.
But you, to jump off that cliff, like, how did that come to you and how did you get the strength to do that?
It was just such a strong feeling, and it was such a weird dynamic and a weird relationship. And after I'd been there a couple of years, I started to think, you know what, there's things about being here that are miserable, but it's like all these other mean girls and it's their fault. And if they were gone and I was the only girl here, I might be happy.
Mm.
But then it got to the point where the two other girls who were living there were leaving, and I was going to be the only girl there. And I was just like, holy crap, I don't want this. And I got super depressed and I started to feel like I wasn't being authentic with Hef as a partner. And I just can't.
Yeah, fake
it. I can't explain it. I just can't live with it when things get to that point.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I have to leave. Like, I can't even do it. Like, I don't even care if I have no guarantees or nothing to go to.
It got bad enough for you internally to, in terms of being inauthentic to yourself.
Yeah, it's like an explosion.
What ways do you feel like you were settling in your worth there? Because I'm thinking of how magnetic you were after you left and so much good stuff came. It's because you jumped off that cliff and you were finally like, fuck it, I'm worth more.
Yeah, I mean, just that dynamic is a really weird one for self-worth, because living there, you start to feel like, oh, I'm not pretty enough. And that's why I'm not in this magazine feature and this girl is, or, you know, I mean, in that, without like trashing anybody, like living there, you're made to feel like you're not pretty enough and you're not special enough. And you're only good as like part of a group. And it takes three people to equal one person and you're not complete. So, I mean, there was definitely some self-worth issues going on.
You had to do reprogramming from that time?
Oh, totally. And this is going to sound crazy, but when I was doing, I think it was a daily reprogramming for being triggered for something. And the thing that triggered me was something that happened right after I moved into the mansion. And I swear, like, maybe this was just my subconscious at work, but I felt like Hef walked into the meditation and was like, okay, cool, but here's it from my perspective.
Wow,
and
I
felt
beautiful.
It was so weird, and I felt like it almost felt like I could feel like what it was like to be in his body and how uncomfortable he felt. Cause like everything from like his back pain to just not feeling good and like the mood he was in that day and where he was coming. It was really weird. It was a trip.
Wow. I've had my friend Nitsa of Sun Potion tell me recently that she had this incredible experience at her house that literally the spirit that felt like God went through her, and it was the most loving, light, beautiful.
And that's amazing.
Max told me recently that he experienced a really, really dark energy that felt like it went right through him. So
crazy.
I do think spirits obviously visit and pass through, and you clearly have spirits that are drawn to you. That's not that far-fetched to me.
I feel self-conscious saying it because he was a real person. I don't want to like speak for a dead person. And he has family members out there who probably don't even believe in that. But I mean, even if it was just my subconscious mind at work, I felt like he came in and like explained his side of the story, and that helped me understand the whole thing and make it better.
What have been the biggest limiting beliefs you picked up during that time based on what you're sharing?
A big one that I always kind of go back to, and it's one of the ones I catch myself saying, I grew up, blah, 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 is that how a woman is supposed to be at a certain age. Because I would always see, you know, I worked at the Playboy studio for a while, and I would always see, even before I worked there, I would see memos come through his office where women would try out for the centerfold spot. And if she was 28, the editor in Chicago would always be like, she's 28. Like, that's the death age. So sometimes I catch myself saying when I'm talking about, you know, how women are with the way they look or their confidence as they age, sometimes I have to preface it with like, well, I grew up in a place where women were dead by 28, basically. Yeah. So that was a big one.
And have you since found expanders to expand you out of that?
I mean, you could even look at somebody like J-Lo, who looks like she's 20 and she's 50 and she's doing all the things.
What the fuck is happening over there? Is she an alien? How does she have that much energy? She's definitely a generator.
No, she needs to like share her secrets.
I mean, Jesus. So you feel like you have a handful of enough expanders that have helped you kind of break any of those cycles and limiting beliefs that will lend to this relationship being super, super healthy.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. And I think just like my innate stubbornness is always pushing me towards something good, no matter what kind of a rock bottom I'm in.
I feel like you, and I will use the term grew up, because I mean, from 22 to 29, you grew up during that time. What for you, because I feel like you suffered, I'm going to say not suffered, but I think women in general, because of media, suffer. Like, we get subliminal, it's constant, what we have to be, what we have to look like, what we have to achieve, how many roles you have to play. But you were literally completely surrounded by the number one messaging of what someone has to look like for value as a woman. What would be your word of advice to women out there of how to expand or break out of that cycle, or why it doesn't matter and it might all be kind of bullshit in a way anyways?
I mean, I don't know if I have really good advice. I feel like getting through it and getting over that programming was just survival instinct for me. Like I knew if I was going to be happy, I just had to dig out that self-worth from somewhere. And you know, you're always going to grow older. So you're going to have to find a way that you're happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I don't know if I've really boiled it down to any good advice yet.
Okay.
And I think you get to a point too, where even if you're in an environment that values beauty like that, even in a place like that, you see that looks aren't everything. Like you could see the most beautiful woman you've ever seen, you know, come and then be in the magazine. And then maybe her life is a train wreck after that. You see examples. Yeah,
or she's
insecure.
Yeah.
Oh no, I saw that a lot. Like I would see people who were Playmate of the Year. And in my mind back then, like if you were Playmate of the Year, that means you're, you know, totally. You've got it all going on. But I would see people who are Playmates of the Year. And then even after they got that title, they would get a lot of plastic surgery and just keep picking themselves apart. I'm not judging plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah,
I've had plastic surgery,
but
it's just interesting to observe that you can have that kind of validation and still be like, oh, I have a bump on my nose or my boobs aren't big enough.
Completely.
Yeah. So I get both sides of it. Like I was surrounded by it in an unhealthy way, but if you're there long enough, you end up seeing examples that tell you beauty isn't everything.
Excellent.
And it's not going to fulfill you.
Fantastic.
By itself.
Are you a Capricorn that's into finance?
A little bit, but I could be better at it. I feel like one of the realizations I got into after my divorce was, wow, I could have invested my money a lot better.
What would be your takeaways now that you, because I love talking about finance.
Oh man. Well, I love generating passive income through rental properties.
Me too.
And I've done some of that, but I look back and I'm like, I could have done more. What was I spending my money on? Shows?
I know. I'm the same. I get so nervous about
that. Yeah.
Totally.
If I could go back in time, I would be like, okay. And I was never on a budget for the longest time because ever since I was 30 and manifested all those great jobs, I was fortunate enough to not even have to look at a price tag.
Yeah.
But it's like, I always say to people, like if Michael Jackson can go bankrupt, it's like everybody needs to be on a budget.
I don't care
who you are.
Yeah.
So now I'm on a budget.
Good. And what are your biggest tips for that of like maintaining a lifestyle on a budget?
Oh man. I mean, it's probably so different for everybody, but I feel like it's a lot of do it yourself. And even with like beauty, like I used to go get a facial every month, like, and that would get so expensive and can buy the machine at home for $100 and it does just as well.
Was it microcurrent?
Yeah. It's like this little microdermabrasion machine and it's so good. And you just do it at home and you don't have to make the appointment and drive all the way across town and spend $250.
And when you are looking for a rental property, what are the things you look out for? For that passive income.
Well, back then when I was buying, I would look for like a duplex or something with at least two bedrooms or something that looked like a nice, cute family property in like a middle-class neighborhood. I think now I'm at a place where I felt like I was at a financial rock bottom just after I divorced, looking at what I did with my own money and realizing I could have been smarter, to where I actually picked up that book you recommend, The Smart Women Finish Rich. I'm reading that right now, and another real estate investment book. So I think I'm going to like revamp what my qualifications are as far as buying property. I don't think I made a mistake with anything I bought back then. I think it was fine. And I just, you know, want to update it, because back then when I was living at the mansion, I took like a real estate investment course at UCLA, and that was what informed me to make those decisions that I did. But that was 15 years ago. So
completely.
So I need like the updated version.
I just think every person, but woman, should really empower themselves with finances.
Yeah,
it's so important.
Totally.
And also it's so that you don't have to keep the longevity of the workhorse mentality. It's like you can invest anyway, even small amounts of money, however you have it, just invest, so that one day you're just enjoying life a little bit more, no matter how much you still want to work.
Yeah. I really believe that kind of the financial rock bottom I was telling you about, where like all my royalty checks all of a sudden like were halved.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a huge message from the universe to, okay, you need to like learn and realize what you're going to do with every penny before it comes in, because you weren't that smart with your money before.
Absolutely.
So now I know where every penny is going to go.
Yay. And yeah, any other budget tips that have come to you that are, you're like, oh, that's really smart. Actually, if I save this here, then I can actually put more there, or blah, 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 blah. Anything like that.
Well, I realized I was spending way too much money on Postmates, because I have a, I have a handful of different.
I moved to Topanga.
Yeah.
So you can't get anything out here.
I have a handful of credit and debit debit cards now. We use them for different things. Like there's a credit card for the kids' expenses, a credit card for like self-care and beauty, credit card for food. So I don't have to like pay somebody to go in and like break it down for me. I can just look at the statement at the end of the month and be like, okay, this is what I'm spending on groceries and Postmates and eating out. And I was spending thousands of dollars on Postmates a month.
I know, it happens so fast.
So I still use it, but I'm just more conscientious about when and why.
And what you cook that's like easy and a staple. For, I'm so sorry, everyone in Port Lila. Aww. I don't know what's going on with Barley, but I'm ready to give her to the coyotes. She's going to get it. We're building my studio office over there right now so that this is never a thing again during the podcast.
So cute.
Well, that's okay. And then in terms of now being a single mom, which is a really different thing to navigate, what have you found to be the most useful tips or way to manage your time, energy, as because there's so many single moms. It's very common today.
Yeah, I'm still balancing it. And I definitely, I don't even know if single mom would be a good label for me because I'm so lucky. Like I have help.
Great.
Like their dad is super involved. Like he pays for their stuff. And so I don't really have the struggle. I'm just still working on managing my time and making sure I'm maxing out my time with them, that it's the most quality time it can be. I'm starting to volunteer at Rainbow School. She just started. So I'm, I don't know if I have tips because I'm still working on it. But what I'm really trying to examine is every hour I spend with my kids, is that the best quality time I can be spending with them?
Wow.
Or am I sitting at the house while they're asleep?
Yeah. This makes perfect sense. What things are you doing actionable in your life right now to step into your worth more?
Working on my communication skills.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with career and money, when I was redoing Opulence, I was like, I'm having trouble with like the actionable steps part because I feel like I've done everything I can do, but there's, after banging my head against a wall for a while, I realized there's other things I can work on that might not seem so obvious, like working on making phone calls as opposed to texting and emails. Cause like my agent who I love, he's just not that into email or texting, and it forces me to pick up the phone. And that was one of my weird communication things, is I had this irrational fear of speaking on the phone. Like if you would have asked me 5 years ago, okay, you have a choice. You can go skydiving or make a phone call. I would have done
the
skydiving.
I have, I suffer from the exact same stuff you have of communication.
So that's one thing I'm really working on, just like kicking out of my life. And I feel like that's going to benefit down the road.
And any other worth, any things you're doing else to step into your worth? Or you feel like that's the biggest one right now that's going to create the magnetism?
That's a big one. But I also just recently started the free roadmap. And that was a good one because you're supposed to list off like three areas of your life where you don't feel free. And that was kind of a revelation to me because the things I ended up listing were such like mundane everyday things that I don't think I would have thought to address them. But they turned out to be huge. And one of them was just like spending too much time in traffic because it was just like sucking my soul dry. And when you live in LA, you learn after a while to kind of like, if you have the luxury of working at home or living near your home, you learn to like stick to your village and don't leave it unless you're like doing something really fun or doing a day trip.
Especially if you're by the 101.
Yeah. And I was good at doing that for a while, but then I just like with the divorce and, you know, balancing between my home and the kid's dad's home, I just kind of like fell off. And like one of my doctors who I loved moved to the West Side, and I realized I had to find a new doctor. It was just like, I just kind of like fell off my path as far as like sticking to my village in LA. And that was one of them. And then the other two things, like one was a parenting thing and one was a relationship thing, but they were just such mundane things. I don't think I would have thought to address them on my own, but when they were brought to my attention through the roadmap, it really made a huge difference.
And have you ever done, whenever the DI is called for you to see your future self, like project 30 years into the future, 20, what has there ever been anything kind of crystallized from your soul? Where do you see yourself going?
I see myself being a really successful writer and being able to work from anywhere and living in my dream home.
Amazing. Yeah. With a partner, I assume.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, we're so great. I'm trying to think, I'm like, what else could we really help the community through the process?
Yeah.
Any other takeaways like during doing the work or anything like that, that you think would be maybe helpful or supportive that I might've skipped?
I can't think of any specific examples right off the top of my head. I just say for anybody out there doing it, like, don't slack on the journal part of it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's tempting for me. Sometimes I'm like, okay.
Just do a DI.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, okay, well, meditation is part of like my self-care thing. So I'm going to do that. You know, what's interesting is I recently changed my eating habits. And that's funny because when I was doing, and I don't remember which program it's in, but one of your programs where you figure out your authentic code.
Yeah. Yeah. Up level, next level.
And you're supposed to do the list where you figure out what am I doing in my life that doesn't line up with my authentic
code. What was your authentic code, PS?
It was creating, which writing falls into that. Love, which is like anything from my kids to a partner. Adventure, like going to do fun things, exploring. And then the other one, I have two different words for it. One I embrace more because it's more shadowy is vanity, but a more all-inclusive word is aesthetic because I like to take care of myself and look a certain way. It makes me happy, but I also like to be surrounded by a certain vibe. Like it doesn't have to be the most like expensive stuff in the world, but like I want everything in my house to look vintage.
You're a Capricorn
that makes me really happy.
Sun with the Libra moon. I mean, it's like, yes.
It's just going to be the way it is.
For sure.
So that's my authentic code, but because I'm a Capricorn and I've always been so goal oriented and list oriented, I was kind of already on my path as far as doing everything, aligning toward my authentic code. But the one thing I wasn't doing, and I was doing this process back in like February, one thing I wasn't doing was I was still emotional eating like crazy and just like eating junk. And clearly if one of your authentic codes is vanity, that's like not working.
not lining up.
But I never fixed it because it was just like such a hard addiction to break. And I just thought I can skip over that one. So I never really fixed it until recently, like 3 days ago, I went to a nutritionist and started a diet. So I'm really curious to see if fixing that final thing on my authentic code, I'm curious to see if like stuff is going to come in faster, like what changes.
Well, you'll also feel so much worthier too when you're in a space where you feel, especially if that's
like
what,
I'm taking care of myself for change.
Completely. Absolutely. I feel like you're right at a prime precipice for that as well, which is cool.
So I'm excited. I'll keep you updated and how that works.
And for you, how do you find time to do the work? Like what's your process like for the person who's like, when do I do this? Do I do it in the morning or?
Yeah, it changes every day. I'm a big baby when it comes to sleep. I'm super like, if I don't get my 8 or 9 hours, I'm super cranky. So sometimes if my schedule prevents it, I'll have to end up like taking a nap, and sometimes I can't fall asleep. So that'll be when I'll do the meditation. Or sometimes, you know, if too much light gets into my room, I'll wake up like an hour before my alarm. So that's when I'll fit it in. But I always, always find a time to fit it in.
Great. That's amazing. Where can we find you?
I'm just on Instagram, just Holly Madison. I'm not really like doing anything publicly right now.
Great.
Just being me.
And then your two books that are worth knowing about.
Yeah, you can get those on Amazon. There's Down the Rabbit Hole and Vegas Diaries. I love them both.
And what can we expect? They're pretty self-explanatory in the titles, but what are some of the highlights of both of them?
Down the Rabbit Hole's really fun. That was just my whole experience living at the Playboy Mansion and the aftermath of that. And a lot of my journey, you know, dealing with my self-worth and my boundaries, it kind of goes along with this work, I think. So it was a lot of me following my dream and thinking I was being authentic, but at the same time, not having boundaries and all that stuff. And then Vegas Diaries is some of the same, but it was my time in Vegas, like my first 2 or 3 years there. Mm-hmm. And just like a lot of things I learned through people I dated and experiences I had. So,
and can we catch your shows anywhere? Are they still?
No, you know, what's funny is like the shows have about 5 different owners each. So they're not streaming anywhere. Mm. They're not, I mean, like if you still have a DVD player, you could probably find like a DVD on eBay, but like they're not streaming anywhere or rerun anywhere. It's the weirdest thing because it's like, we live in this day and age where like everything is rebooted and every content ever is available streaming. And I feel like those are like the two shows that aren't, but.
Do you have any pings your soul's been communicating lately to you that are totally random to go like, go travel here, try this, do that?
I don't know about random. I really want to go to Scotland, like Edinburgh.
You don't even know how great. Have you ever been?
No, I've never been. But you were talking about having the place there,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is to me the most magical place.
It looks so cool. I had a friend who went there and she was posting stuff in her Instagram story. And I'm like, I've always wanted to go because I saw something about I think it's called Mary Queen's Clothes. It's like this underground thing when I was a kid on TV. And I thought that looked so cool. And I always wanted to go. And she's like, you have to go. This place is totally you.
It's magic. Yeah. It's complete magic.
I want to go so bad.
Where has been your favorite place in the world you've ever traveled?
Paris, Versailles. Yeah.
So stunning.
So pretty.
And if you could buy a house anywhere else right now, where would it be?
Besides LA, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it because I'm so focused on like the next house I want here when I'm making a lot of money. Yeah, I'm so focused on that one.
And you love it here.
Yeah, I do.
Have you ever looked up your astrocartography to see what lines run through here?
I have. And my creativity line runs through LA. So, you know, wanting to write, that is perfect. And I have another line. I forget what it is, but there was another line that runs through Las Vegas that was really special. I forget what it was, but also I have lines that run through places like the Great Lakes area is supposed to be really beneficial, and Hawaii.
Yeah. Wow. You have a really good one.
Yeah.
Mine will be super random sometimes.
Where are they?
Like some of them aren't some of them are really profound and they've always made sense. My soul's always wanted to go, but New Zealand is where my Venus and Jupiter hit.
Oh, wow. That's so
Japan.
Interesting.
So
wow.
I really want to do those this next year. Yeah, they're on my
list.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
And then, some will be so random, like in the Philippines or like poor Lila. All of hers are in the ocean or Africa.
Oh my God.
She doesn't have any like in the States or anywhere, which are neutral.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It's not beneficial or negative. It's just super neutral.
Yeah.
So, well, we are so grateful you came here.
Oh, thanks
today.
For having me. This is so fun.
Such an expander for all of us. You have to keep us posted when there's something else going on.
Oh yeah, I will for sure.
So we can chat about it.
I will.
And we're wishing you all a wonderful weekend. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, we did. And in case you're not totally ready to join the pathway yet, I wanted to share a few of our free offerings that I'll often suggest to people as a little bit of a blueprint to get them started on their manifestation journey. The first place I like to direct people completely for free is the Motivation. You can see it linked below or on our homepage as our testimony library. And it's categorized by different subjects, whether you're calling in career, money, love, wellness, and much more. When you're reading about a member's experience of what they manifested, you're actually seeing to believe and showing your subconscious that that very thing is possible for you. The second place I like to direct people is to the free clarity exercise, which is also linked below. In it, you get to try our own unique hypnosis process, learn about the science, and some journaling prompts. And the best part about this, you'll get a tiny taste of what it's like to go into your hypnotic state, bring your subconscious forward, and create new neural pathways while receiving clarity. And the third thing, if you haven't listened to it on this podcast yet, please go back to the episode titled Manifestation 101, where you'll learn the basics of neural manifestation to truly understand this process. So go ahead and check out those free resources, the Motivation, the free clarity exercise, and the episode Manifestation 101, all linked below. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.